Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You hear him all the time on CBS Sports Radio. He is the host of the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. DA now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. DA, how you been, man?
I'm doing good, Bill. Now just longing for one of your sandwiches. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, people have said it's life-changing. I don't know if it's life-changing, but it certainly is is filling in the Italian sense, and I love that thing. So, yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, I wanted to ask you, and I've asked everybody today. We had Peter King on and Brian Billick on a little bit earlier today, but I wanted to ask you, your helicopter view of the Green Bay Packers?
Season's over unless Aaron Rodgers comes back with some miracle in week 17. I mean, just from what we've seen last night and the last two games out, they're just a shell of themselves. And to me, it begins emotionally and mentally. And I do have to point the finger at Mike McCarthy. Look, I understand when you lose a star player, especially one at quarterback, naturally there's going to be an emotional sag. But what you saw last night was a defense that simply couldn't stop in any way, shape, or form the Lions, and an offense that just didn't believe. And clearly Brett Hundley is nowhere close to what Aaron Rodgers can do, but I just thought the life, the energy, the soul of the team last night was lost. It looked like Zombieville from the Packers, and I just think that when Aaron Rodgers is out there, you feel invincible, and when he's not out there, you feel like you're naked, and that's what the Packers are playing like.
Defensively speaking, this team's not very good, and that's that side of the ball needed to carry them, and they're not going to get it done. So we start to look around the rest of the league. I want to start with the Philadelphia Eagles. Are they for real in your eyes?
Well, it kind of depends on the definition of for real. Do I think they're one of the best teams of the NFC? Absolutely. Do I think that they're the best team of the NFC? Perhaps. Do I think that they're more than just Carson Wentz? Yes. And I really love what they've done around Carson Wentz. I like how Doug Peterson has evolved the offense in year two under Wentz. And obviously, I love what Wentz has brought to the table. But I don't think there's any world beaters in the NFC. I think that this is a conference right now that's got a bunch of good teams, some very good, but all of which can beat one another. You know, if the Eagles go 12-4 and get the one seed in the NFC, would it be impossible to believe that the Seahawks go there in divisional round weekend and win? Of course not. Would it be crazy to think that they could lose their first playoff game? Absolutely not. So, you know, at the midway point, are they the best team in the NFC? Probably. Does that mean that they're the best team going into January? I kind of doubt it. I don't think there's anybody head and shoulders above the rest of the NFC.
If you're going to say the NFC battle at the end of the season is up to what? I mean, Seattle is always going to be a team that hangs around. I'm really waiting to find out what Dallas has when they face Philadelphia. Obviously, L.A. has all of a sudden come on, and they're playing like a team that could, you know, be in the postseason and actually do a little bit of damage there. How much should we believe in the teams that are near the top spot right now?
I think this is a matchup-based NFC. You know, in the AFC, I really believe that the Patriots and the Steelers, and to a lesser degree, the Chiefs, and I would have put the Chiefs in this conversation 2 weeks ago, but I haven't liked what I've seen the last two games out of them. I would say that in the AFC, roads run through those teams. So you're going to have to get up for your best game, play your best game, probably on the road in Foxborough, in Pittsburgh, perhaps Kansas City, and really bring it if you are going to get through the AFC. In the NFC, I don't believe that. I think this comes down to matchups. I mean, take the Dallas Cowboys that you mentioned. If the Cowboys have Ezekiel Elliott in the playoffs, and we presume that they will, if they get there, a matchup problem presents itself against their opponent. We can't stop the run. But yet, the Cowboys on the flip side can be had if you have a balanced offense and don't put yourself in bad situations where their pass rush gets you because the rest of their defense isn't very good. In the NFC, take the Saints, for example. If you're going on the road because the Saints win the NFC South, you're probably going to get blitzed down there in that dome. Do I think that they're going to win on the road? I don't, even though they have a better ground game this year and a better defense. I don't believe the Saints can go outdoors and go win two playoff games. I think this is all about matchups, and the L.A. Rams are a good example of this. The Rams have taken a pitchfork and stuck into the hearts of their opponents early in these games. This past week against the Giants, they went downfield. They attacked the Giants secondary right off the bat, got a couple of scores, never looked back. If they can do that to a defense that's on their heels, they're going to be dangerous. But can they do that against a good team that's going to bow its back and stand up to them in a playoff game? I don't know. And so I think that so much has to clarify itself in the final 8 weeks of the season that we see what these matchups look like. And the Vikings are another team, a really good defense, a questionable quarterback. If they go on the road in the playoffs or play a team that can somehow kind of figure out how to poke holes in that defense, they're going to lose because they can't keep up with anybody else with that quarterback situation.
I look at this NFL season. It's kind of bizarre in the sense that teams that we really, I mean, the beginning of the season, the predictions are pretty much thrown out the window. I mean, you know that New England's going to be there. Beyond that, everything's kind of been up for grabs. We knew Pittsburgh would kind of be good, and they're sitting at 6-2, but we expected that division to be a little bit better. Tennessee, Jacksonville. Jacksonville's been on the come for so many years, I never really had a chance to believe in them, and all of a sudden here they are top of the division, and it's a shame what happened down in Houston. But Kansas City we thought would be good. Oakland we thought would be better than a 4-5 team, and it seems like they're trying to figure themselves out. Is this just a really that, and then you couple it with all of the devastating injuries that have gone on? Has this just been a bizarre year in the NFL?
It has been in a lot of ways bizarre. I think you hit on two things. Number one, the injuries because of Aaron Rodgers. It took the Packers out of the mix right now. Deshaun Watson takes the Houston Texans out of the mix, and they might have already been out of the mix because of the injury to J.J. Watt. Those are devastating injuries to a league that loves its stars. So that kind of altered things and rocked the boat. And number two, the NFC specifically is so weird because the Falcons can't get out of their own way, the Packers lost Rodgers, and because the Seahawks have been wildly inconsistent. So those three, had the Falcons, the Seahawks, and the Packers all been healthy and solid, and then in the AFC you had the Patriots, the Steelers, and let's say the Chiefs, you would say, all right, this is a steady year, a strong year for the NFL. The power teams are at the top, and we'll see who can kind of like crack into the wild card stuff. But the Chiefs have looked great, and then they looked bad the last couple of weeks. The Patriots got beat by the Chiefs early, and we feel like their defense is vulnerable. The Steelers could potentially lose to the Bears. They can lose bad games, and then they can look great against the Kansas City Chiefs. And then in the NFC, as I mentioned, Seahawks, Falcons, Packers, none of those three feel like three of the best teams in the NFC. So it's been topsy-turvy because we've seen some great performances out of great teams and then some lethargic ones. And the normal powers that be in the NFC have been toppled over.
Talking with DA, host of the DA show on CBS Sports Radio. So this year, and I asked Brian Billick this, I'll ask you this. This year we have seen, if you have a quarterback, it's an elite quarterback, you're going for it, that's what you're doing. But I think a couple of years ago, John Elway said, look, I've got a quarterback that's on the downside. I can't win it with the offense anymore. We have seen a lot of teams just go out and say, we're going to load up defensively and let the chips fall where they may to support maybe a lackluster quarterback. Has the pendulum now swung from being the, quote, quarterback-driven league to you better have a damn good defense again?
It's always been you needed some element of balance. You just could not be one or the other. And I still believe that holds true. But I also believe, and I talked about this morning on the show, having watched the Packers last night, now more than ever, your quarterback defines whether you're a contender or not, because the last 25 years have been defined in the NFL by slanting the rules in favor of the offense and the quarterback. They want Hollywood. They want stars. The easiest way to build stars, through the quarterback. So all the power and influence of NFL teams goes through the quarterback. You got one, you're good. You don't got one, you're nothing. And with one injury, a team like the Packers can go from a Super Bowl favorite to a nobody. And that's the problem, I believe, in the NFL's rules now. It's why we have so much mediocre football. It's why you watch on Sundays and half the games are unwatchable. It's because half the teams don't have decent quarterbacking. And so the only way you can win now is elite quarterbacking in January or historically great defense, which is what the Denver Broncos brought to the table 2 years ago, which is what the Seattle Seahawks brought to the table 4 years ago. It's the only way you can do it. Historically great defense or great quarterbacking. And I think that this is why the NFL is problematic at this point, because 20 years ago, it didn't have to be an all or nothing proposition for you to win and go deep into January.
Always a pleasure to get you on, DA. I appreciate it, and we'll get you on later down the road, okay?
Sounds good, Bill. Thanks, man.
Absolutely. There you go. DA, host of the DA show on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.